Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Madaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Kachalam. We're now in Baba Metzia Daf Pechet Amud Bet with a further analysis into the issue of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho that we briefly touched upon in the previous Shiur. Comparing the Isur of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho, which affects animals and not muzzling them when they are threshing, with the obligation to allow a worker to eat and the rights of the worker to eat when he is working in a particular field. So far we found that a person is allowed to eat when he's working bimechubar with stuff that he's uprooting, and that a shor is allowed to eat and you can't muzzle him when he's working with something that's already uprooted. Adam etalush menalan. So now we have to square all of this. How do we know? Let's start with this: that a person is allowed to eat, and you may not prevent him from eating when he's working in something that's talush. So the first attempt, which is of an obvious one, is kal v'chomer mishor. That after all, an adam should have more rights than a shor. Ma shor sheino chel mechubar. So far, we don't know that a shor is allowed to eat when he's working mechubar or chel b'talush. Adam shor chel mechubar, didn't shor chel b'talush. And we reject that by saying mala shor shekinat hamutzuva al chasimato. When it comes to a shor, the Torah explicitly prohibits us from muzzling him. So let's flip it around and argue that there should be an isur of chasima, of muzzling a person, kavachomer from shore. And how does that work? You have no moral responsibility to save the life of a shore. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to muzzle him. So a person who you are obligated to save if he's in danger, certainly you should have a prohibition against muzzling him. Amar Kra, therefore the Torah says, Kenaf Shecha, and this we saw earlier, that a worker is Kenaf Shecha, like the owner. Kenaf Shecha Poel, Manaf Shoim Chasamto Patur, Hapoem Chasamto Patur, just like if you want to restrain yourself when going through, that's fine. Similarly, you can restrain a worker. Which means we are kal v'chomer ran out of gas. And how do we know that a person is allowed to eat when he's working with talush? So Amar Kra, kama, kama, shtei piyamim. In the second pasuk on the page, when the Torah talks about ki tavo b'kamat re'acha, the Torah says that when you come into the stalks, as it were, of your fellow, and the word kama shows up there twice. So our reaction is, since the first read of Kama is referring to Mechubar, let's extend it to even something that's Talush. Now, Rabbi Yami Amar, Adam Talush, Lo Tzarech Kra, says that we don't need no pasuk for that. Why? K'tiv kitavo b'cherem re'acha. The introduction of the rights of the worker to eat is if he comes into the field of another fellow. If that would mean, even if you hired him to, let's say, pick up the boxes and move them out. In other words, it doesn't say that it's specifically about harvesting. The Torah says he has to be able to eat, which means you see that even in a case where he's working bimechubar, you still have to give him the opportunity to eat, and so you see that it is even bit talush. Okay, now let's square it out. Say, shor bimechubar menal, and how do we know that a shor is allowed to eat when working bimechubar? So kavachomer mi adam uma adam shino chel b'talush shochel b'chubar shochel b'talush nandin shochel b'chubar. We're just flipping it around. We should reject it the same way that we worked before. Mal adam shkan tamotzu v'lachayoto. A person, you have an obligation to keep him alive, to save him. So mamar shor shi tamotzu v'lachayoto. So v'hei shor tamotzu v'lachayoto mi kavachomer. And now let's say something truly absurd, which is that we would be obligated to save the life of an ox kavachomer from saving the life of a person. If a person that you're allowed to muzzle, you still have to save, then a shor that you are obligated, that you are not allowed to muzzle, you certainly should have to save. The Torah says in the prohibition of rebeat, don't give rebeat, your brother has to be able to live with you. You're only obligated to take care of your fellow person, fellow Jew perhaps. but certainly not animals. Velashor mechubar minalan. So then if that's the case, our kol v'chomer again ran out of steam. How do we know that a shor may eat from the fruit that he's working on, even if it is mechubar? Amar kra re'acha re'acha shtei pi'amim. And again, we go to the same pasuk. Ki tavo b'kamat re'acha. And again, the word re'acha shows up twice there, as if extending it not only to your fellow, but even to an ox. Imenu inyan la'adam mechubar, tenu in l'shor mechubar. Good. Ravina mar lo adam etalush v'lo shor mechubar tzvichi kra. He said this entire enterprise is unnecessary. You don't need a pasuk to tell us adam etalush and not shor mechubar. Why? Tichtiv lo tachsom shor b'disho. The pasuk that we've been dancing around the entire time is lo tachsom shor b'disho. Mechti kol mili itanu b'chasima, since every animal is bound by the laws of chasima, tiyafin and shor shor mishabat, because eventually, once we have the word shor, and this we saw in the middle of Masachet Bava Kama, anytime that it says shor, it really applies to all animals. We learned that from Shabbat. You may have to make sure all of your animals are rest on Shabbat. So imken liptov rachmana lo tadush b'chasima, then the Torah just had to say, don't thresh with the muzzle. Shor dechatav rachmana lamali, why does the Torah write shor? To create an analogy between the muzzler and the muzzlee. Just like a muzzler, meaning a person, can eat when working with mechubar. Similarly, the one who is muzzled, the ox, can eat with mechubar. Just like the one who is muzzled is allowed to eat when working with talush. Similarly, a person may eat with talush, and that solved everything. Now, this next passage, we're going to take a look at four braitot, all interpreting the word da'ish, or expanding the implications of the word da'ish, in the pasuk lo tachsom shor b'disho. Tana Rabbanan, number one, da'ish, ma, da'ish miyuchad, davash gudu lekarka, skip the parentheses, upo elochelbo, hafkos gudu lekarka, po elochelbo. So why is da'ish picked there, threshing? Because threshing is something that grows on the ground, and as we thresh things that grew in the ground, and a poel can eat, so of course you can eat a poel ochelbo. Therefore, the rule is that anything that grows in the ground, a poel can eat. As opposed to working with produce that doesn't come from the ground, like milking and making cheese, etc., that a poel is not allowed to eat in that case. Now, lamali, I don't need that pasuk, because mikitavo b'chem re'acha nafka. I have that from the pasuk that talks about kerem reyacha. It tells me it's kidulei karka. The answer is it's kama. If you recall in the previous podcast, we ended up using the word kama to say it applies to anything that grows. Maybe it refers even to things that aren't kidulei karka. They are agricultural produce like milk and cheese, but they don't come out of the ground. Kamash malan, that it's limited to stuff out of the ground, and that's what daish is for. Brighter number two, tanyidach. It's something that a poel can only eat when it's done harvesting. Of course, as opposed to somebody who's raking or actually weeding with bulbs like garlic and olive and onions, why would he be weeding? Because if the bulbs grow too big, he has to take the small ones out that are in the middle that are interfering with them. Since this is not a time of gemar malacha, because we're not done harvesting, we're not at harvest, ain't po'al ochel b'hem. So lamali, what do I need that pasuk for? Mivyal kel yachal lo titen nafka. Remember, we learned, you can't put it in your pouch, means the entire halacha only applies at a time when you are putting it in the owner's pouch. So lo tzvichav agav de kamash tif ktinim ben ilan limi. We're talking about a case where you're pulling out the little ones, so you're kind of harvesting them. Nonetheless, it's not the time of gemar malacha, you can't eat. Tanyidach, braita number three, da'ish. Just like da'ish happens at a time when the process is not yet done to be mechayev for maaser, so that's the rule that a poel can only eat with something that is not yet finished its process vis-a-vis maaser. So what's excluded? Let's say that the owner told the worker, I have a bunch of fruit that I've already harvested, and I've already put together, and now it's got stuck together, and you have to separate them. Bodel. Since they were already chayav and maser, ain't poel ochelbo. Now, wait a second. We have a brayta that says explicitly in that case, a worker can't eat. Amar Papa, Kitanyahi Batach Tuchlani. Papa says that's talking about inferior fruit. They get stuck together and you're separating them out, but really it needs more ripening. Atanya Idach, we have another brighter, number four, Daish. Remember, chala happens at a much later stage in the process. It's after you've turned the wheat into flour and mixed it with water and kneaded it. So if you're baking, if a guy's hired as a baker or as a kneader, then he cannot eat from that stuff. Wait a second. How could you even be discussing the challah as a threshold, well before it got to the to being considered a challah, it was already chayav b'maaser, which happens much earlier. So in other words, this discussion is a fairly meaningless discussion. It's like saying you may go no further than 10 feet high, and then saying and you may not go further than 100 feet high. Well, I already can't go further than 10 feet high. Once I've crossed the threshold of nigram alachtol maaser, there's nothing to discuss. So lo kasha, b'chutz la'aretz askinan. We're talking about chutz la'aretz, like a maser. All right, that all there is challah. So yachi challah nami like a midoraita. There is no challah b'chutz la'aretz. Liolam la'aretz. Let's go back there to Israel. Lo kasha, v'shavah shekiv chuv, v'shavah shechakua. Truly creative but strange answer. Say this is talking about a halacha that only applied during the first 14 years that the Jews were in Israel under Yeshua. Where, according to traditional understanding of halacha, they were obligated the minute they entered the land in the mitzvah of challah, and they were not obligated in Trumot Masrot until they'd completed the conquest, which took 7 years, and the division of the land and settling the land, which took another 7 years. Oh, good. So that's, again, a difficult answer to say that the teaching that the Shalom Ra'al Machtol Challah is only referring to a point that happened thousands of years ago and will never be repeated. But we have a bigger problem. Midi maser kagarim? Maser is not the cause. In other words, the actual obligation of maser is not the cause. Gemar malacha kagarim, it's the fact that it reached a point of completion that tangentially also generates a chiyuv maser, but that's the reason that a poel can't eat there. So therefore, once you've already reached that point, there's nothing more to discuss. So how could you say that you're allowed to eat till it reaches the point of challah? I'm Ravina Kroch Vatani. Ravina says you have to tie together Brighta number 3 and Brighta number 4. They weren't two separate Brightot, they're really one. Daish. Okay. So now we have the following question about a worker eating with fruit that, remember, he's not allowed to eat on Avim V'davar Acher. He's only allowed to eat the thing itself. What if he takes the thing itself, just the fruit he's working with, and he processes it in a way that makes it nicer, more pleasant to eat, but doesn't add any other food to it? Could he take the food and put it in something to heat it up and eat it? Do we consider that like grapes in another thing and it's prohibited? Although, he's just processing it. So Toshma, let's see if we can solve here. Rishai balabait lashkot po'alim yayin kedei sheleichlu anavim arbe. The Balabayit can give his workers a lot of wine so that they won't be thirsty or hungry and they won't eat a lot of grapes. And the opposite, the workers are allowed to take their own bread and dip it into some sort of a tart juice so that they will really be thirsty and eat a lot of grapes. In other words, you're allowed to manipulate appetites in order to generate either a lot or a little bit of eating. So you should be allowed to heat it up. The answer is, Lachshoy Gavra Lokamim Bailan. We're not asking whether you can manipulate the person's appetite. Kikam Bailan Lachshoy Pero. We're asking whether you can process the food itself. Might. So let's see if we can solve it. Toshma Po'alino Achlin Aravim Barashay Umniyot Shalahem. The workers have the right to wait until they get to the end of the row to eat the fruit because it's sunnier, it's better fruit. Vajalei Vavavuhumu Or, but they're not allowed to heat it up there. So you see that you're not allowed to heat it up. You're allowed to pick the best fruit and the sunniest fruit and the ripest fruit, but you can't do anything to it. No, the answer is hatam ishumitu malacha. That's not because there's an inherent prohibition. It's because they're not allowed to take time from their work and start heating it up. We're asking a question if, theoretically, the man's wife were with him or his kids were with him, and they aren't working, and they bring along a little charcoal thing, can they heat it up? My. So let's see. Toshma lo yavhev ba'ur v'yochal. The ruling is that the worker could not heat it up in the fire. V'lo yichmor ba'adama v'yochal, or put it underground to warm it up. V'lo yifrich gabei hasel v'yochal, or break it on top of a rock and eat it. Africh al yad al yad v'yochal, he can break it with his hands and eat it. So hata mishum bitu malacha, that's also not because of an inherent prohibition of eating it that way, but because of bitul malacha, of wasting time from work. And it makes sense, because in that context, it can't be because just of sweetening the fruit. Salamai matuke pereika, breaking it on a rock doesn't sweeten it at all. The answer is yes, it does. Yeah, it does sweeten it in some way. It opens it up. So toshma, let's see if we can solve it from here. Pauline, shayu odrim b'ta'inim. If you have workers who were harvesting or collecting figs, v'godrim b'tmarim, u'botzim b'anavim, oskim b'zeitim, so it was figs or dates or grapes or olives they were harvesting, hare elu ochlim b'turim, they're allowed to eat, and they're patur min ha-ma'aser, shatorah zichtalahem, because the Torah gave them that food. B'fitam lo yochlu, but they're not allowed to eat it with their bread. Elim kenat l'rishut balabayit, only if they ask the balabayit, because that's already too much. Lo yispot b'melach v'yochal, and they're not allowed to dip it in salt. So that seems to say they also can't heat it up. The answer is no. Melach v'day kanavim v'davar acher dami. Once you introduce salt, that's another thing. That's like grapes and another thing. But heating it up is just taking the thing itself and changing its chemical properties through heat. Not its properties, because of its reaction. All right, so let's take a look. We haven't solved that problem, nor will we, but we're going to take a look now at the issue of v'lo yispot b'melach v'yochal. We said that the workers are not allowed to dip it in salt. Urmina, we have a challenge. If you hire somebody to hoe or to make a ditch around the olives, olive trees, he doesn't have a right to uchal. Remember, it's harvesters. But if you hired him to harvest, he's allowed to shator azichtalahem, like we just saw. Now, katsatz achat achat, v'achat. If he made a deal with the balabayit that he would be able to eat, and the deal was one at a time, then yochal. Shtayim shtayim lo yochal. If it's two at a time, then he's not allowed to eat. V'sofet b'melach v'yochal. But he could dip it in salt and eat, which of course is strange. Ah, hey, what's that last statement about? Ilei ma'seifa. Since he made a deal and said with the balabayit, I'm working with you on condition that I can eat this, then it's already like some sort of like a purchase. So it should be really chayav masrot. Elalav areisha must be referring to the earlier statement that said that. That if he hired him to work, then he may eat, but he can't, but he can dip it in salt. So you see the challenge. So I'm Abaye Lokasha, Kan Ba'aretz, Kan Ba'chutz La'aretz. Abaye says, no problem. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a problem because it becomes Chayav Masorot. In Chutz La'aretz, you don't have that problem. Ba'aretz Kava Sfita, Ba'chutz La'aretz Lo Kava Sfita. In Eretz Yisrael, because there is a problem of masrot, so therefore when you dip it in salt, that's like a gemar malacha, the poel already can't work. In chutz la'aretz, there's no issue of masrot, so it's not koveya. Amarava mi'ika midi de be'aretz kavasfita v'dorayt v'chutz la'aretz lo kavasfita v'muta l'chadchila. Rava says, it's not possible to have something that is so distant to say that when you have maser d'orayta, and you say that it's asur b'fil v'di'avad, and here he's saying in chutz la'aretz, the same sort of situation we totally ignore and say muta l'chatchila, not possible. Ala amar Rava ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz la'aretz, chad lo kavasfita, tarte kavasfita. Whether in Eretz Yisrael or chutz la'aretz, if you take one, then salt is not koveya. Taking one thing and adding salt to it is not koveya l'masrot. Two is katsatz, but if you made a deal, which means you're purchasing, bein safat bein lo safat, whether you put it in salt or not, achat achat ochel, if the deal was for each one at a time, you can eat, time shtayim lo yochal. Then it's already kavul masrot. Lo katzatz v'lo safat. If you didn't make such a deal and you didn't dip it, ochel shtayim shtayim. You could eat two at a time. Safat. If you dipped it in salt, achat achat. Ochel shtayim shtayim lo yochal. One at a time you could eat. Once you do two, you grab two together, then you can't eat. V'avogadna tal v'shut v'alabayit. Even if you took a shit from alabayit, why? De eat b'luhu l'maaser v'kavas fita. Now it's considered kavu l'masrot, and the salt actually is koveya. Why? Tarta de kavas fita banal. And how do we know that if you take two together and then you put salt on it, that's koveya? Raman and the makra ki kibtsam ke amir gorna. He gathered them together like a pile in the goren. So whenever you have two things together, that's already considered to be like in a goren. Okay, we'll pause at this point and we'll continue, B'ez Hashem, in the next podcast, with a further investigation of the issue of the Yisur of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.